Father, in the name of Jesus, once again we want to thank you for your wonderful, wonderful kindness, your love, the opportunity that you give us to study your word. Thank you that this word shines in a dark place, this earth, and it is our food for our spirit and soul, even health for our body. Father, speak to us. Open our hearts. Help us to know the wondrous things in your word and help us to take action with the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said. I want to talk about the time of restoration. The secret of success for any generation is to find out what God is doing and doing the same thing. The secret of any church in any period of time is to find out what God is after, what God is trying to do in a place like this, in Toronto or in any part of the country, in any, what God is after, and do the same thing, and then we will have success. If Jesus is out for fishing, gather up whatever, the boats and the nets and everything, come on, get into the sea. What is God doing now? What is he doing now? What God is going to receive at the end of the age or even now? Why is he waiting for? Why doesn't he stop all evil and all nonsense of, you know, the devil and all terrorism and all kinds of things? And these are questions, legitimate questions that we can ask. God is gathering a people to himself. Deuteronomy 32:8. God is preparing a people for himself. Did you know that? He wants a special people to live with him forever. Could you and I be included in that? Do you like it? Mind you, you're not going to spend eternity in heaven. Heaven is coming down to earth. That just, by the way, don't get yourself upset. You are listening to this message just by, for the first time, whatever. Deuteronomy 32:8. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Verse 9, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. The Lord's portion is his people. Can you see that? God is waiting to receive a people for himself, would love him, rule with him throughout eternity. He is making those people, teaching them, leading them to victory, and he is preparing them. See, God is not going to get any material thing or some whatever, a land. God's portion is his people. If you say, this is my portion, you are saying that I'm waiting for this. So the Lord's portion, inheritance, is his people. What are his riches of glory? His inheritance in the saints. First chapter, Ephesians. Now, everything circles around God's people. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, all things are for your sake. Everything that is happening is for your sake. Nothing else. Whatever the things that are happening, you see, everything that is happening on earth is because of you. Even the things, you see a disaster like 9/11 that has happened, even though it's evil, good is coming out of it because God's people are coming back to realization that they need to get closer to God. The more fastings and praying, the more prayer meetings are organized all over the world, people are waking up to live a holy life. What about even this homosexuality? Because of this thing has cropped up now, churches are awakening now. Ho ho, even today, being September 7th, 2003, at 3 o'clock they are gathering up in front of the parliament today. So there is everything that happens because of God's people. God even sometimes permits certain things, permitting, even though he's not the author of it, to wake the church up, to wake us up, to get us back to him. Because we get into a religious game, you know. When everything is fine, people are very happy about celebrating Easter and celebrating Christmas and all kinds of feasts, which are in themselves are good. But the main thing is not celebrating Christmas or anything. The main thing is preaching the kingdom, expanding the kingdom of God. God wants his kingdom to be established on earth. His kingdom rules everywhere. But then the reality, at this moment there is another order, another kingdom, which is secretly, forcefully dominating through deception and lies. A satanic kingdom. But God's kingdom rules through his people. Now, the sons rises and sets for God's people. The airplanes are there flying because of God's people. Why are the airplanes are flying? Because you can get in and go to another country to preach the kingdom. See, everything, governments are functioning for our sakes. Why are there governments? Because of God's people. Everything, that's why Paul said, all things are for your sakes. Now, there are three things, structures that God caused to build so that he can dwell in it. That he can use them as a dwelling place. First, the tabernacle of Moses. This was in the desert. The main feature of it is, even though it just is what's not a, a remarkable a decorated or something, a gorgeous structure, but the remarkable thing was the pillar of cloud was there and the pillar of a fire was there at night, showing the presence of God with him. This was during the time of Moses. Then the tabernacle of Moses, Solomon rather, the most expensive building, this is the Temple of Solomon. And it was made mostly of gold. David by himself, out of his own offering collection, he gave today's money worth 75 million dollars worth of gold. US dollars, 25 million. It was most expensive, remarkable, outstanding building, God's temple. And then the third one, the temple of the living stones. That is, in 1 Peter, Peter is talking about we are as living stones built by the Holy Spirit. We are the temple. Now, out of all these three, the tabernacle of Moses, the temple of Solomon, and the living stone, that's the born again, new creation, God is building. Everyone is a stone. So you come together and God builds this big temple throughout the world, the earth. And the Bible says we are the temple of God, individually and collectively. Are you listening? So which out of these three you think the best and the real thing God is expecting for? Is he just looking for some a dwelling place with a tabernacle of Moses with its small tent in the desert? Or is he just after the Solomon's temple, a building with gold and all that? Or is he looking for real people? New creation, surely it is the church. It is the is God's people, called out people, who are born again, Spirit-filled, as the living stones. You see, nothing that can be compared to one soul. Jesus said, you can gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, what will it profit? What can man give for his soul? Is most expensive than one person's soul is very expensive than United States, Canada, England, than the whole earth. Can you see that? One soul is very expensive. That's what how God sees it. So God's portion is his people. Now, purposes for his people. Oh, God has purpose for his people. Now, it could be said, what is the purpose of God at this moment, in one word, is restoration. Restoration is putting back things in the correct order and in the correct place. Let's say, if that clock is underneath a bed, left there for a month, the clock which is hanging, the wall clock, catches up dirt, isn't it? In dust. And restoration is, you take the clock, wipe it, bring it back to the original polish, shining, and then, not enough yet, to leave it there, to get it back to where it belongs. That is the restoration. Did you understand that? So God is in the business. He's doing the work of restoration. Now, the restoration of two groups of people, Israel and the church, at this moment, Israel and the church. Israel, you know, Jewish people, and throughout the world, those who believe in the good news of God and who are born again. That's the church. So God's purpose is centered around in restoring Israel and the blood-bought children of God. That's the church. We know that God will never break his covenant with Israel and also with the church. He will not. The church may fail, but God will have his own way to get things done and fulfill his purposes and his plans. Nobody, no government, no one can stop the purposes of God getting fulfilled. God will achieve what he wants, where he wants, how he wants. Because he is sovereign. Now, so restoration is putting the things in the right condition and in the right place. I remember there was a building erected that was in the wrong place for them. It was a massive building. Let's say a building in the size of a little bit probably was about not as tall as these apartments. Probably it had about 10 or 12 stories. It's a massive building. You know what they did? They dug deep. They lifted the whole building, put it on rails, and moved the whole building to another place, dug the pit again, put it inside, and put the building there. Can you believe that? And I said, you mean say this building was there and it came here? Yeah, I saw that. I didn't say while they were moving it, but you know, it's there in Wellington. You remember that? It's a big... So, now Israel need to get back geographically. Because, you know, when God and Israel are concerned, immediately for them it's land comes first. God gave them land, territory. And they lost it. They lost it to the enemies. Palestinians, they all the time fighting. Now why the war in Middle East are going on? They are trying to get their lands back. The Jews say this is what God has given us. And the Palestinians say, to hell. And the fight goes on. So they need to get back to the position geographically. You know, even these 2,000 years, the Jewish people been scattered throughout the world, right? According to the prophecies that were given through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And then God said that I will gather you up back again. And then they started to go back and Israel became a nation in 1948. You all know that. And now as they are returning back and they are fighting to claim the land that had been lost to the enemies. And also, not only the geographical place, they need to get back into relationship with God, not play Judaism religion. But God is not finished with them. He loves them, right? Let me tell you. Even though they are not born again, God's covenant with Abraham stands. They are his people. Jesus Christ was a Jew. That's why he said salvation comes out of Jewish people, right? Out of Jew. Now, look at these two that I'm going to say. Compare Israel at the moment fighting with his enemies, the Palestinians and others. Compare their fight with the fight of the church. The church has gone away from real close walk with God, the relationship, and also their spiritual inheritance, their position in the kingdom of God. Ruling as kings. Is the church ruling as kings? No, man. Why are they going in procession today? The church should have been able to take up the phone and say, Prime Minister, that is not done, stop it. Like one servant of God said that, you know, they were showing some rubbish over the TV and then this man got the phone and then told them to stop. And they stopped it. What is happening? Ruling as king. Here we are in a procession going around begging. So for 2,000 years, you can see Israel as well as church, they're gone in parallel. They are just given up most of their lands. The enemy has taken over, they're fighting. And the church, because they walked away from reigning as kings and priests, taking their position and expanding the kingdom of God, instead of that, these people, the church, has been playing churchianity Sunday after Sunday. What is left to the church now is big noise of songs and, you know, welcome and handshakes and camp meetings and banquets. Oh, yes. Thank you. And that's all we have. We do not see the manifestation of the kingdom of God. We don't see. We don't see one person getting delivered out of demonic bondage. We don't see many salvations. We don't see repentance, conviction. No, no, no. It's just a mask, a religion, a churchianity. So, in my opinion, as Israel is fighting with a fierce fight now, you can see the war in the Middle East. So many, the church is not going to have an easy time getting back to the kingdom position. You're not going to get back there easily. Jesus said, "Thou got to force yourself into it. Though violent shall take it by force." Matthew 11. Are you with me? So it is, you're not going to enjoy the kingdom folding your hands and singing a few songs and being a good, goody-goody, I don't know, guy or a lady, being nice and with a nice look on your face. No, man, these are days that you got to be spiritually aggressive. Aggressive. Some people said when I preached, "No, no, he's very aggressive." Thank God for that. Before I even went to New Zealand, some people have been talking there, he's very aggressive. So you can see people, they want to just say, "Hello, God loves you." So the church is going to have the same or even worse warfare. I want to say, the devil most of the time never troubles the church. You know why? Because the church never troubles the devil. You are sleeping and getting up, and then you are having your own way. I mean, you have no, there is no cost for your Christian life. You know why? Because you do nothing for the devil. Against the devil, rather. You do no damage for the devil's kingdom. You damage the devil and watch. I don't know whether you are getting this. You cut off his little of his tail if he has one. I'm just saying, and see. And see. You deliver a family and then see. I'm not saying this to glorify the devil. No, he's a defeated foe. But what I say is, you're going to face the reality of attack. The reality of opposition, rather. But Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. He never said he will not attack. So, the same way the Israelis are fighting for their land, church is going to fight. And only those who are people who are aggressive, violent, will take the kingdom rights and stand in the inheritance God has given them in the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It is Father's good pleasure to give you what? Heaven. No, the kingdom. Huh? You're here? Now, in the year 1900 in USA, there was a girl who went to the Bible school and then she wanted to be prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they did not believe at that time in the Bible school. But she showed the second chapter of Acts and then she said, "No, I want this." And the prophetess over there, they laid hands on her and then prayed. She received the Holy Spirit and she spoke in tongues. And there a revival started. She said, "God is not quiet." And this was in the first day of the January of 1900. In 1904, Holy Spirit revival, started in Azusa Street in the United States. And then thereafter, in 1950s and 1960s, the charismatic renewal brought forth back the things that were missing in the church for a long time. Now, God is never without a purpose. He's doing things right now. He's working right now. You remember Jesus said, my Father is working and I am working. Is Saturday a good day to cast out devils? What about at night? Some people say don't cast out demons in the evening, you know. God has a purpose and He is working according to the procedures in His word. Now, the process of restoration. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. Acts chapter 3, 19. Are we taking it? No? Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. Restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. God has been speaking about this since time began. This age began. Now, these words were spoken by Peter through the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit gave very specific things here, what God is after in these days. In fact, Peter went on to say, even from that time, from the very beginning, God has been speaking about these things, the end times of restoration, restoring all things in Christ Jesus, the Anointed One, the Messiah, through many prophets. So we need to know what God is after now, and what God is doing is restoration, bringing everything back to the original position and original place. Hallelujah. Why don't you open your mouth and then just let air to go inside at least. Now, first thing Peter says is nothing happens except repentance takes place first. Repentance is changing your mind, making a decision, thinking differently, and obeying God. And what he said, okay, so you repent, and then you say, yes, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. Change your mind. Okay. Now, repentance is an inner decision followed by outward action. God's people have to repent. See? The world is under a different government. That's why we are asked to pray for the governments. They are in a different pattern of thinking, and they are guided by too many principalities and powers and demonic spirits. We were once, without our knowledge, guided by them. And now and then, if we are not careful, we get into our soulish realm, we begin to hear things we think that we are thinking, and then we do those things. Start judging people, do things as if God has said, when actually a demon spirit has given that thought. Now, God has problem with his church, with his own people. He has no problem with the Canadian government or the Polish government or the German government or those people who are outside his kingdom. No. The great revivalist who lived a long time, name is Evan Roberts, and he had a something that he published to the church at that time. Bend the church and bow the world. Without bending the church, the world will not bow. In other words, if the church can bend, bow its knee and obey God's commandments, God will deal with the world and make them to bow. You look as if you didn't get it. Did you get that? If the church is in the right place where God wants her to be, if the church is in right relationship with God, God knows how to turn around these people who say that we want to legalize homosexual marriage. When they want to have their own way and own things, God has nothing to do with that. And he's not going to deal with them. God says, you people, you are my people, you don't obey. If my people who are called by my name turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, pray, then I will listen. Then I will, what? Heal the land. That means I will take away, I will deal with that homosexual, whatever. Who is in rebellion with God now? The homosexuals? No, the church is in rebellion. God has problem with his church. That's why 1 Peter 4:17 says, judgment will have to start in the house of God first. It's going to start with believers. And Peter says, if judgment starts in the church, what it's going to be outside? So who is the prodigal? Church. We are the people. Why today all these things are happening? Why their Bibles are being taken away? Why? Because you treated the Bible as it's any other book. We just read it for our own whatever. Oh, I didn't know that Noah lived so long. You did nothing about it. What are you doing with the anointing? So the first thing that the church, the God's people must do is repentance. Repentance. Inner decision, change of thinking, and outward action. You decide within you, and you change your thinking, and you act in the way that God wants you to act. Without changing our thinking, we cannot have restoration. Now, the New Testament, Holy Spirit never tells anybody to believe in the gospel, the good news, without repentance. We have no right to tell anyone to believe in the good news without repentance. Jesus said, repent and believe in the good news of the kingdom. Repent. Are you getting? You need to repent. Now, what's so funny? All right. Now, the second thing, you see, repent therefore and be converted. Conversion comes in your soul when you change your thinking. Be converted as your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing. Note, it is not a time. times of refreshing. So there's going to be times, different times of outpouring and cleansing and deliverance and purification and filling God's people with power, anointing in the presence of God. Times of refreshing. Times of refreshing are going to come. Are you depressed and weary? Are you confused? Do one thing. Repent. Why? Repent. Yeah. Because repentance comes before refreshing. When you repent, you get that lousy spirit out. You get that depression off. You get that self-pity over me. No one likes me. Why is that? It's maybe because of your big mouth. So repent. I think Joyce May has an album called Me and My Big Mouth. Take that cassette and repent and listen. Hallelujah. So repentance precedes refreshing. Don't go and correct everybody. That's not your job. You do your job. Allow the Holy Spirit to do His job. Times of refreshing may come. You remember when Saul had the demonic spirit coming and attacking him, and then David comes in and then plays the anointed. Under his anointing, he plays his whatever, harp, or nowadays you can say guitar or whatever. And that demon couldn't stand that music. There is power in music, I tell you. You people. And the Bible says, when the demon leaves, he gets refreshed. You know the scriptures. He gets refreshed. When you are tired, we want some refreshments, isn't it? Some shops you can see refreshments. So you go. Now you have lost your freshness. You want refresh yourself. Repent. Refresh. Restore. You can see all those letters, R-E, coming all the time there. Restoration. So restoration, you know, the Lord restores my soul, David cried out. The Lord is my shepherd, He restores my soul. Why to restore my soul? My mind had been running here and there. I want to pray, Pastor. When I sit down to pray, half an hour, I keep thinking something else. I'm unable to control my mind. Anybody has that experience? Put up your hands. Some do like that. They are stretching their ears at the same time they want to. You say, the Lord restores my soul. How many times David had problem with his mind and his emotion? And he said, why are you quiet, my soul? Why don't you eat, Aaron? Why don't you drink, Aaron? Sometimes you just want to pray in tongues and all that. And you keep on thinking you're going everywhere. And you come back and say, no, what is this, Lord? That shows your mind, our soul, is not obedient to the Spirit. Because the soul has not been washed properly with soap and water. with the word on a daily basis. It's stinking. So he says, no, I want to take off. I don't want to obey the Spirit. What is this new thing you talking? No, I want to go on my way. I want to chink. Because I am that. How many of you feel like that? And you sometimes say, and again you start to pray, and the mind takes off. And you got to catch him and put him, hey, come here. Restoration. You see, refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration. Now you can see the times of refreshing, the times of restoration. See, God sometimes, he's so kind, so, not sometimes, excuse me, he's always, he sends, I should have used for this, he sends in between sometimes, here and there, the servants, anointed servants of God in our midst, so that they come and then revive us for some time. And say, oh, good, you know, and you felt so nice, and this servant of God was teaching you, preaching you, whoever came. And afterwards, after 3-4 days, then you went on your way, and then you became again a deflated balloon. Now, who is coming next? Shall I tell you who is coming next? The devil. How can you say that, Pastor? After you hear the word, the devil comes. That's what the Bible says. After you hear the word, the devil comes. And when he comes and catches you, you have a problem. And right, restoration. Times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Now, repentance, refreshing, restoration, return of Christ. Everything starts, those four words, with R and E. Repentance, refreshing, restoration, return of Christ. Now, Jesus cannot come until the restoration is being done. Right now, Psalm 102. Verse 13. Now here the psalmist is in a real mess. As you can see in many psalms, that you can see the real gloomy times that these people were passing through, attacks of the enemy and trouble in the mind. And here, Psalm 102, verse 13, he sees something amidst of his problem. Verse 12, but you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nation shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion, which denotes Israel and the church. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come. Hallelujah. There are people yet to be created. Glory to God. You should know who they are. May praise the Lord. Now, this passage written by the psalmist through the Holy Spirit is in parallel with Acts, just now we did, 3:19 to whatever, 20, 21. Is in parallel, is saying the same thing. Now, even though he was in a gloomy mood, the psalmist, but he looks towards from his place and sees what God is doing, going to do. See, he sees in verse 13 that God is going to arise and he's going to show mercy, favor. God is going to show mercy and favor to Zion, to his people. And he saw it as a set time. a set time he saw that God was going to pour out his mercy and his grace. Who are his people? Israel and the church. See? The set time. They, you know, the people, they had set times for their feasts. There was a set time for the feast of the Passover. They're going to have the whole year. Now, there was a set time. So the same word has been used. He saw that in a set time, and this is the time, that God was going to pour out his mercy and his favor. He's going to show favor. Hallelujah. I have quoted this verse and scripture while praying for people. Lord, you said you will show mercy in Zion. This is the time, show favor for the... Bang, bang, man, the power of God came. And the demon manifested. Lord, this person has come. You want to show his mercy, Lord. You said, I will show mercy and favor to Zion. This is the time. And why you look like something and, you know, as if you are lost the Lord, like Mary and Joseph when he was 12. If you are lost him, find him. The set time for, you know, Hebrews 4:16 says, let us draw near to God through his throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy. Draw near with bold. Don't just put a religious face when we say, well, let us pray. You just, yeah, I have seen. They put a, my God, there's, you know, glory to God, Lord. We claim whatever. We start praying. Mm-hmm. So, religious people find very difficult to accept mercy and favor and grace. See, they want to do something all the time. They have to light a candle or do that, do this, and run up and down and then fast and, I don't know, and then not eat meat and to gain the favor of God. No, you cannot gain the mercy of God. You cannot earn for it. It is given free. Get it. Verse 14, 102. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. You see, Jerusalem is full of dust and stones and things like that. So his psalmist is writing, is comparatively to, even though the church or people of Israel in a devastated condition, I mean, without power, without proper restoration, and, you know, without proper blessings manifested in their lives. Many are in poverty, many are in bondages to sickness and curses. But we should not despise. We should actually, if we are true servants of God, we must have a feeling in our hearts. You know, see, it says, for your servants take pleasure in her stones. You must have a burden for the church. Even though this church, or these people are just worshiping him, they know nothing about the Holy Spirit, they know nothing about the speaking in tongues, yet you should not put them down. You must have a burden for them. Oh Lord, somehow open, because, you know, it's like dust and stone. Are you listening to me? It's like a dust and stone. So you must have, you remember Paul said, I have all these persecutions and I have this burden for all the churches night and day. You remember himself writing like that? The burden of all the churches is pressing me. That's the thing you must have. What is the burden that you have? What shall I eat and what shall I drink? What shall I wear? You are in a different kingdom. See, the servants, if you're a servant, if you're in the kingdom, you will care for the stones and the dust, even though they're not in the right place, the church, the people of God. Now, God will receive glory. Verse 15, the nation shall fear the Lord, name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth, your glory. You see, God will get the glory. Excuse me. He will get the glory. He will receive the glory. See, that is the end purpose. The glory of the Lord shall be filled all over the earth. Now, verse 16, for the Lord shall build up Zion. Now, rebuilding of Zion foreshadows his coming. When the Lord builds up Zion, he shall appear. That's what the word says. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Look at me. It is not written here that after the restoration is over, the Lord is going to appear in the clouds. It is written when the restoration is going on, God is going to appear. Say amen. When the restoration is taking place, when people are repenting, when people are getting delivered from demonic bondages, when they are getting delivered from curses, and they are growing strong in the Lord, they are getting so thirst to study the Word of God, and when they are, you know, before you could say, they want to shout amen and not be like dead dumb ducks. And he shall appear while the restoration is on. Amen. Say amen. I said amen. Say amen. You didn't get that one too. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. Hey, look at here. There are so many things the church is praying for. There are so many things. But the prayers of the church, all the prayers put together all over the world, all the earth, cannot solve all the problems. You know what is going to solve all the problems? The coming of Jesus. And that was a very good amen. That was a fantastic one. That shows you are in the dust. And let us not despise the dust. And you see, what is the prayer of the destitute? Church is praying, oh Lord, send revival, pour out your spirit. You know, even though we pray there's a revival, but there's something going on. But you think all the hurting people, people who do not know the Lord, you know, devil is squeezing their necks, frightening them, giving all kinds of diseases like cancer and killing them. The hospitals are full of people. You think all their tears will be wiped out by the prayers of the church? No. It is going to be wiped out. Wow, our prayer should be, Lord, use us while we are here now, but come back soon as we preach the kingdom. Don't stay inside your house. Desperate prayer. Prayer of those who are helpless. And he will hear. What is the main thing that God is going to answer to solve everything? By sending Jesus back. By sending Jesus back, everything will be solved. Glory to God. No more turning to the person and saying, if you know who I am, you will not talk to me this way. See, so while the church is being rebuilt, while church is being restored, while the rebuilding is taking place, the Lord shall appear. Glory to God. I thought, while everybody is restored. No. Don't think like that. Now, the other one is, verse 18, this will be written for the generation to come. The psalmist knew that this period was not for him. He knew that when he was writing this. This shall be written for the generation to come. And who is the generation? It is the new creation generation. And if you're not happy for that, be happy for the lunch to come about after this. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people shall praise the Lord. God is going to gather a people who will shout, you know, they'll bring down heaven by praising and worshiping the Lord. Shall be written for the generation, a people yet to be created. A people yet to be created. Man! You are recreated in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. We are the generation that is going to see the coming of the Lord. You missed another place there. See, so main aspects of the restoration is restoring the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, and entrance, that is entrance into the supernatural. Without the gifts, you cannot enter into the supernatural. Church cannot function in the natural plane. Don't you ever think that, I went and told many people about the gospel. Nobody believed me. In fact, they scolded me. You got to have the supernatural power to proclaim a supernatural message. Without the anointing of heaven, you cannot preach the good news of the kingdom. God never called his church, his people, to do his work under our own power. Moses had no power to get those people out of Egypt. God said, I will be with you. Who is that I? The great I am. You need the anointing. you can nice. I can smile and talk nicely. I can look at their faces and talk. Yeah, you talk. You might get a slap sometime. Some of you just try to force people. Jesus never preached the good news of the kingdom without the anointing. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good news of the kingdom. You can't do that work, so we need that. So the key to the supernatural power is one gift. It is the gift of tongues. You see, the kingdom of God has many keys, but one key is very essential to get into the supernatural. You know what that is? The gift of speaking in tongues. That's why the devil has taken that key from most of the churches and believers. And there's too much of fighting goes on about speaking in tongues. Why? Because that is the master key. That's why sometimes we speak only for 5 or 10 minutes and then we stop it. And we blabber and fight with people. Oh, no, I didn't say that. No, you said that. No. How? Oh, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. Fight. No speaking in tongues. No speaking in tongues. Supernatural. See? Then we have a... So actually, when you speak in tongues, you are speaking to God. Number two, you are speaking mysteries. Number three, you are edifying yourself. These are three very important things. The benefits of tongues. Speaking to God, you are speaking mysteries, edifying yourself. Now, then we have the restoration of the ministry gifts. The ministry gifts are apostles, pastors, evangelists. You know, the teachers are so important. Where are the teachers? There are too many pastors. Where are the prophets and apostles? You know, without the apostles and prophets, there cannot be true foundation. Anybody starts a church, if that church stands very strong, that means it's been laid by a good foundation. The only foundation that we can lay is Jesus Christ. And the foundation of the church is laid by the prophets and apostles. Hello? So we can never complete the ministry of God without the apostles and prophets. Completion is not there without them. Now, the third thing is the restoration of the message. The message has been stolen by the devil. We don't preach the correct message. The message is the message of the kingdom, the gospel, the good news. We will see that in some other time. Amen?